Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm an employment law and business law attorney and host of the weekly show Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC. And tonight we'll be discussing another employment-related issue that's important to small and mid-sized businesses, as we do each week. And my guest tonight is a special guest, my friend and colleague, Mark Roberts. Mark, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Eric.
Excellent. I'm going to give you a proper introduction in a moment, read a little bit about you and your bio, and let our guests know what you do and with my HR department. First, I thought I would just pivot over to our topic tonight, the topic being having a healthy business during COVID. By healthy, we mean having one that is in compliance, that has a strong foundation if faced with audits or review or lawsuits. And in that topic, in that vein, I'd say that with all the COVID-19 related changes that businesses are seeing over the past 11 months, including new laws and regulations, we have new ways of interfacing with clients and with employees in the workforce. And so I think it's important for business owners to ask themselves, is my business in good shape if I'm audited by the Department of Labor or by the Workers' Compensation Board? Am I following up with OSHA's COVID-19 guidelines for employees in the workspace? So my next guest, as I mentioned, Mark Roberts, is an industry expert in human resources. And he and I, with my hat on as an employment law attorney, know all too well the perils business owners face when they are out of compliance with labor and employment laws. So in this episode, we'll talk about some of the areas where businesses tend to fall out of compliance. We'll address why such lack of compliance should be on your radar in the coming year. And lastly, Mark and I will talk about some ways Mark can share from the HR perspective how companies can move towards compliance and away from hefty fines and penalties. I will read something about Mark. I just want to note, though, that we're speaking about some legal issues and that, by way of disclaimer, the conversation tonight, the opinions we give, the thoughts, the tips, are not meant to be either binding legal advice or creating an attorney-client relationship. Bear with me, folks. I am a lawyer, so disclaimers come second nature to me. But it's important for folks to know that if you have a question from tonight's episode, feel free to contact Mark Roberts. Feel free to contact myself, Eric Sauber, and we can discuss your situation individually. So with that, let me read your intro, and then I have some questions I'll ask you and give you a chance to showcase for us what you do and all the amazing things that I've heard and I've seen you do when you and I have co-presented together. So, as I mentioned, my guest, Mark Roberts, is recognized as a senior advisor. He is a leading HR industry consultant and managing director of my HR department. Mark is a recognized industry leader whose leadership style effectively balances a pragmatic management approach with strong creative and innovative skills. Throughout his career, Mark has proven that he can achieve results regardless of the challenges before him. Mark's early career was in audit and assurance with BDO Seidman, and after several years with BDO, he moved over to the corporate side with various domestic and international business roles with companies like Kraft Foods, Adidas USA, and Continental Green. Mark left the corporate world, moving into freelance consulting for several years prior to forming his own executive search organizations, Infinity Partners and Search Support Group. And over the years, Mark has worked closely with CEOs and entrepreneurs. Mark saw the need for concierge HR services for the small to mid-sized business, where there is a pressing need for human resource support, but not the ability to sustain full-time staff. Lastly, in terms of Mark's background, he holds an MBA from Pace University and a BS degree from Lehman College. Mark serves on the advisory board of the Westchester Biotech Project and is a frequent speaker at the Women's Enterprise Development Council. He is also co-chair of Networking Professionals of Westchester, a business networking group, and is an advisory board member of The Networking Group, a nationally based business organization. All that's to say that Mark really knows his stuff, and I'm very happy to have you on the show tonight, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to talk about these topics.
Sure thing. Well, you know, first question I'd have for you, Mark, hopefully my sound is okay here, but I just want to be, yep, sounds good to me. Okay. First question would be addressing the pandemic. From an HR perspective over the past 11 months, what factors have you observed as causing potential compliance problem for employers today?
Well, there have been so many of them. I guess I'll start with the remote work concept, where so many employers have now gone from a brick and mortar environment where everybody would report to work to all of these remote workplaces that are not only geographically dispersed from where the hub of the business is, but they're now across the country. And what we're finding is a lot of employers have gotten into trouble on several fronts. One, not understanding that now that you have employees in these other state and local municipalities, you're now on the hook for the compliance and tax issues and accounting issues that are required by being a business in those locales. And to the employer's defense, yes, they had these things. You know, one day they were running their business on a Tuesday, and by Wednesday now they had remote workers, and then people just dispersed all over the country. But nonetheless, these things are still happening. Even things as simple as relying on a payroll company to help them. We had one client that had somebody, I think it was somewhere out in the Midwest. The payroll company had no idea that the local municipality had a payroll tax. We raised that to them when they, you know, when we found it. And so it's little things. It's reliance on, it's either moving too fast and not having the right information or relying on not necessarily the best sources. Other issues, and one of the things I think you and I discussed is now that employees are working from home, what happens to employer liability? Is that now an extension of the workplace? Is there liability if I fall over the cables that I've now strung through my kitchen or living room to set up my workspace? Okay, if I'm an employee, maybe I'm not covered. It's workers' comp for me. But if my spouse or the janitor happens to come up and fix a leaky faucet and trips over those wires, who's responsible? Am I now an extension of the workplace, or am I now the individual working from home? That's an area that I've talked to insurance executives, I've talked to attorneys, and I haven't gotten a definitive answer yet. And then there's the issues of insurance, having the right insurance when, you know, not only from the liability side, but what other insurances do you need to have for these remote workers and whatnot and equipment and technology? The other thing I'll say before we go to the next topic is that employers have gone from secure workplaces where they've spent a lot of time and a lot of energy on ensuring that they have a cyber secure workplace to people leaving that office and going home and immediately working on iPads, cell phones, laptops, desktops, a fragmented network that no longer have the security that the employer once had when everybody was under the controlled environment of the workplace. And now all of these things are tapping into that secure environment without all the security. So these are all the different things that we have run into along the way. And, it's been really a very interesting and eclectic mix of problems that we have found.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, I've found some similar problems as well. I think you touched upon a lot of issues there that it goes to show the need, first of all, for someone like yourself, your services for an HR, my HR department, an HR consultant, because a business owner right now, from what I found from my clients, they're so focused on making sure they keep the lights on and trying to keep up with all the different local COVID regulations. If they're, for example, a restaurant, can they have curbside pickup? If they're an office, are they allowed to open? Under what circumstances? And I think when that happens, as you pointed out, and when things happen so quickly, all of a sudden everyone's going from coming to the workplace on 49th Street and 7th to working from, you know, their parents' house in another state or home, you definitely get those issues. I mean, you talked about out-of-state compliance. I found that not only tax and certainly issues around payroll tax, but also the questions of paid, right, PTO and paid sick leave. Some municipalities,
absolutely,
in other states have mandatory, right, like New York City paid sick leave. And so you can have an employee who is now, let's say, staying with their family in Seattle, and your company's in New York and New Jersey. Well, you have to make sure you're abiding by those rules and as well. I think, you know, just to comment a little bit more on this as well, that I think that point you raised about the remote work situation, and certainly cybersecurity comes up, but the workers' comp situation or the liability from the employer to others, like a third party, it is a puzzler, because on one hand, you know, we've seen cases even before COVID where, say, an employee is forced to work from home. They're working remotely as part of their job, and they might have, as you described, cables set up, par for the course, or their computer, let's say, or their equipment, and they trip over it, and that's a workplace because they're working from home. And that varies. Pre-COVID, you may have had employees that worked 1 or 2 days from home, right, voluntarily. But I know that when the employee is forced to work from home, such as during COVID, we had a lot of places that shut down. A lot of employers told their employees, either you cannot work from here because of the state rules, or they just decided on their own, they have policy and said, hey, we're not going to open the office till 2022. So I think, you know, you raise all good points about liability, that whole workers' comp, and then the issue of extended liability, and to what point can the person prove that they were at fault. And so definitely, I think, to sum up there's a lot of issues that people might not have been thinking about pre-COVID that they're thinking about now, I think. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I have two phrases that I use all the time. One is setup is always cheaper than cleanup. Some people laugh at that, but there's really a very important message in there. And the other issue is HR is a risk mitigation tool. They should not think of it as an overhead. Just like you buy insurance to protect your building from burning down, your assets, you buy car insurance, you buy health insurance against risks that you can't see. HR is a risk mitigation tool that should be, you know, put in the same bag as your other insurance policies. And it's just critical that a lot of people just don't look at it that way. Well, HR, it's an overhead. I don't need to spend the money. And everything is great until it's not. Either there's a lawsuit, a government agency comes in and slaps them with fines for the simplest things. And, you know, all bets are off at that point. We had a client one time that was boasting to me that he just settled a case for $150,000. And I said to him, if you had called us probably 4 weeks earlier, you might have had an extra $100,000 in your bank account, because we could have mitigated the situation that you were in. And he just didn't get it. Didn't get it. I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
Some people buy life insurance, some people don't.
You know, we have a commercial break coming up, but when we come back, I'd love to talk more about that. The idea of that phrase that setup is cheaper than cleanup. Absolutely. And the whole idea of being proactive is so much, there's so much less of a time factor, money, expense, and headache than there is in being reactive to, oh, I have a legal problem or an HR problem. So folks, we need to take a commercial break. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Eric Sauver, host of Employment Law Today here on Talk Radio NYC with my guest tonight, Mr. Mark Roberts, HR consultant and managing partner of my HR department. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
My Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening, The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauver, here tonight with my guest, Mark Roberts, HR industry consultant and managing partner of my HR department. Before the commercial break, Mark raised a very good point about the importance of seeing HR as a risk mitigation, seeing it as a type of insurance against the type of the sorts of problems that a company can have. I want to circle back to this point because I'm going to ask you a question in a moment. But before I do, I want to just state something that I've observed from my clients over the years. I found that more clients come to me from the reactive than proactive side. They get a Department of Labor an investigation notice or an audit saying, hey, we think you've misclassified all of your independent contractors, or we see some overtime violations. And as you pointed out, Mark, had they come sooner, they would have perhaps saved much more money if they had a better, let's say, a means of proactively approaching and correctly classifying people. So I guess the point I'm making is that I've seen how, for all, by what you're saying, it's true that being proactive is often cheaper than being reactive. I was wondering, do you see any reasons why the risk of, let's say, a New York State audit might increase over the next year or so?
Oh, absolutely. This is another one of my sticking points. In 2007, 2008, when we went through the financial crisis, federal, state, and local coffers were drained, lost tax revenue, lost employment tax revenue, lost sales because businesses just sort of collapsed. Fast forward now to 2020. Not only do you have lost wages in generating employment tax revenue, you have lost business revenue, you have state and local, federal, state and local governments spending billions of dollars on COVID relief, whether that be unemployment, whether that be helping to get vaccines rolled out. Where do federal, state and local governments get their money from? They get it from businesses. They get it from revenue. So one of the article areas of low-hanging fruit is labor audits. We had seen in the past that there was a sharp uptick in the number of clients that were suddenly getting letters from Department of Labor, both federal and local, requesting information. We did see several instances where various government agencies walked in with warrants unexpectedly. One in particular was a a cleaning service in lower Manhattan that had 400 employees. They walked in one day and wanted to see all their immigration documents. Fortunately for them, they were all buttoned up and didn't have any long-term issues. But look, the average business owner, if a government agency comes in, whether your records are complete or incomplete, they're going to be in your hair for a period of time. It's going to be disruptive. The best you can hope for is that you're all buttoned up and they leave after a few days of finding nothing. Should they find situations that they can fine you for, they're going to be in there longer. And the bad news is when they leave at the end of the process, you're going to get an invoice. Whether it's a misfilled out I-9 form, classification issues, you're going to get an invoice. And it's going to be, in some cases, as you know, Eric, treble damages.
Yep.
So being proactive, you can have an HR audit, perhaps, to see where you might be exposed from a compliance standpoint. Mm-hmm. You can update your handbook. Look, the average business owner doesn't know what they don't know. The employment law landscape, it changes in some weeks, it feels like hourly. And no business owner can keep up with that. They can't keep up with the changes. They can't do the research. They can't interpret it. They can't roll that out and then make sure they're doing everything right. So being proactive is really important and can save a ton of money. And, that's where you and I come in to this, as we talked about. There are kind of two types of HR consultants in the world. There are companies like mine that try to proactively get people to fix things that might be broken. And then when they don't follow our guidance, they end up coming to other HR consultants like yourself, who are in the employment law space. And if they would just work with us collaboratively up front, God, the world would be a better place. Everybody would be happy. There would be no fines. There would be no lawsuits. Well, for the most part, we would hope for that. But it's proactive versus reactive.
Mm-hmm. So true, Mark. I mean, it's interesting because I've definitely seen how I have those types of clients that are reactive. And usually the proactive clients that I've seen over the years, either, I think you and I discussed this, I think we talked about this, either they themselves went through a Department of Labor audit or investigation or some kind of a heavy fine in a past business, and they say to themselves, okay, I'm starting fresh, I don't want this to ever happen again. Or they have a close friend, maybe a brother-in-law in business or a neighbor or a networking colleague of theirs who is in business, and they've actually taken a hit, and they see them talking about like $120,000, say, bill from the Department of Labor for misclassified workers and back taxes and wages. And so they get scared, much like if we hear about, say, a neighbor our age who suddenly has a heart attack and you think, gee, have I been for a checkup in a while? And, it starts to make you wonder. So I definitely hear what you're saying about the low-hanging fruit in the time when the states and the governments, the federal, state, city are looking for money. And they know that business owners do not always, in fact, they rarely dot their I's and cross their T's around these issues of employees and workplace. So, I think it's absolutely essential. You're right. And I think that the combo force of speaking with your HR consultant, such as your company, and speaking with your employment lawyer can be a way that businesses can really protect themselves, insulate themselves, and reduce the risk of that ginormous bill from the Department of Labor or Workers' Comp.
Here's a very interesting statistic. We talk about the COVID issues that are out there today, and it's gotten to the point where several firms have now set up these dashboards where they're tracking the increase in COVID-related lawsuits. And right now, the statistics, and we're just about into this for a year, there have been roughly 9,000 COVID complaints that have translated into roughly 1,800 lawsuits. Couple of interesting statistics. One, about 30% of the lawsuits that have actually been filed are in companies from 1 to 50 employees. Small business owners, be warned. This is where it's happening. And where a lot of the problems are coming? Whistleblowers. Mm-hmm. There are so many employees that have gotten furloughed, laid off. People are just cranky, and understandably so. We're not designed as human beings to live in a cave and be happy about it for a year at a time. But there's a lot of whistleblower complaints where these employees are now making a phone call and reporting their employers for PPP loan violations, SBA loan violations. So it can come from anywhere. So the message is to be very careful. Try to treat your employees as best you can. Always try to do the right thing, even if it sometimes mm-hmm. is not always affordable. But you have to treat your employees like the investment that they are in your business. But again, with all the lawsuits going on, and this is only going to get worse over time, businesses with employees from 1 to 50 own about 30% of all the lawsuits across the country. And this is a proven statistic. Scary. Very scary if I were a small business owner.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, I'm glad you point that out too, because I think a lot of businesses that I've spoken with are under the misguided impression that either A, the government will really only go after the big giant companies. You know, they see in the news Uber, they see Google, they see Uber or Lyft or other, and they think, okay, well, that's not me. But as you pointed out, I heard similar statistics too, but Mark, about 30% or so, the businesses that are at the receiving end of these complaints are often less than 50 employees. So I think it's important to note that you've got several factors now during COVID, right? You've got the states in need of money, and so therefore looking to up their audits because that's where they get their money. You've got more people being laid off, more people being furloughed, and therefore some of those people, you know, will understand and shake hands and walk away, and others might be disgruntled. And if they're disgruntled, they're more likely to say, hey, you know what, my employer's workplace was not safe. And they say anyone can make a complaint. And so I've had people say to me, well, what's the point? And I think your message is to be careful, right? You said, as you mentioned, treat your employees well, do the right thing. The message is not to be terrified or paralyzed by fear. Because even though an employee can make a complaint, if your workplace is in good shape, you can defend against that. You know, I've had clients over the years. I had a client recently. They let someone go, and they think that person may have filed an OSHA complaint saying that the place was not COVID-19 safe or did not comply with OSHA. Thankfully, the company had worked with me, and we went over all the different CDC guidelines, the local, state, and local guidelines to make sure that their offices were, in fact, complete with the proper spacing, the proper protective gear, the glass shielding, the staggered shifts, the sanitation, and they had also documented all these different steps. So the company is still waiting for word back from this whistleblower complaint, but it's an inconvenience, but it would be much worse for them if they hadn't taken those steps. So I really appreciate what I hear you saying, the message about, right, be proactive. And since companies have to run their business, right, they can't all be like you and I are checking all the updates in the law. And I think you're right. It is, the employment laws seem to change quite frequently. The EEOC's guidance on vaccination, you know, whether or not that could be mandatory or not, or if companies can give incentives for employees, to get the vaccine. Does that violate the ADA because you're asking for medical information potentially? So a lot of issues. And I think to sum it up there, I think definitely treating your employees right is the way to go. But also, as you pointed out earlier in the show, you don't know what you don't know. And so that's, I think, where you and I come in. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to turn the floor over to you more to talk about some concrete steps, maybe some ways that my HR department helps businesses to stay compliant with the laws. So, folks, I'm Eric Sauver. This is my guest tonight is Mark Roberts, managing partner of my HR department. We're taking a commercial break here in Employment Law Today. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Thank you. run or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneurial Web. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber, here with my guest tonight, Mark Roberts. I'm an employment law business law attorney. Mark is an HR consultant and managing partner of my HR department. And Mark helps businesses to proactively get in compliance with the various labor and employment laws and regulations that govern businesses so that they don't end up in serious trouble and then coming to me later for expensive defensive litigation. So Mark, again, I want to thank you so far, all you've been saying on the show tonight. You know, just your, if I can recap a bit for those joining us late, Mark talked about, well, first off, Mark identified the various areas that we're seeing an uptick in compliance issues, just to recap for people joining us now. We talked about the questions around people working from home during COVID and how that implicates possible workers' compensation law claims. Is the workplace now, rather as the home, an extension of the workplace. We talked about what happens when a company's employees are scattered now in different states and how business owners might not realize that they have now new laws to contend with from other states around taxes and PPP and around payroll and paid vacation, paid time off rather, PTO. So really just getting into the nitty gritty. And then Mark talked a bit about, when we discussed that the old adage, that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and talking about, you know, the ways in which one can use my HR department services to make sure they're following the laws in the first place so they don't get into trouble that can be very expensive later on. So I just wanted to sum that up for those people joining us late. And with that, I wanted to ask Mark, you know, turn the floor over to you. Your company, my HR department, can you give us a few examples, concrete examples of how you might, let's say, walk a company through on the road to compliance?
Yeah, I'm happy to. And before I get into the specifics of that, the other thing, you know, we've talked a lot about fines and penalties, but the other thing that a lot of companies don't realize or don't think about early in the game is that fines and penalties, yes, they're very annoying, but they've spent their lifetimes in some places building a brand. And their brand is so very important. You don't want to see your brand on the front page of the local paper or even, God forbid, a national paper where your company has been cited for some egregious labor violation or some other discriminatory issue. Because not only are you going to suffer from the slings and arrows of fines and penalties and litigation, but your brand is going to be really damaged. And I guess I ask, is it worth it to not only to sort of, as a friend of mine likes to say, tiptoe past the graveyard, take the chance of tiptoeing past the graveyard and have your brand damaged in addition to the internal financial considerations? So as a company, there's several things that we do for employers. The first thing is, if they're really not sure where their compliance stands, we like to go in and do an HR audit. that sort of levels the foundation. We go in and look at all the areas of compliance. We look at all of their business practices. And afterwards, we come back to them with a report and tell them where they might be exposed and what kind of business practices they ought to change. So that I like to do that with new clients right out of the gate, because then we know what we're dealing with. And it's very important to fix those broken compliance areas immediately, because, again, you never know who's walking in the door the next day. So that's number one. As you know, Eric, having an updated employee handbook is paramount. I have seen companies that say, well, I'll get the handbook from my brother-in-law's company. And for those that are old enough to remember Mad Libs, you know, you put a noun, an adjective, and a verb in certain places, or just replace the company name, and suddenly you have a handbook and you've saved yourself a gazillion dollars. Well, a very quick story. We had an insurance company that called us one day and said, we never realized we had such robust maternity leave policies. What are you talking about? Well, one of our employees, you know, is now going on maternity leave, and she now told us about all of these benefits that she now has, and we were shocked. And she showed it to us in the handbook. Where did you get the handbook? Well, we got it from some industry guy that gave us a template. Mm-hmm. And we changed the name. And now they were on the hook for huge dollars. And that's sort of a funny story, because it was maternity leave. And fortunately, you know, the person went off to have a successful birth of their child, and the company wasn't severely damaged. But that could have gone the other way. Yeah, as you and I both know. So we will do a custom handbook for companies. It's not a template. All of our handbooks are, you know, customized. Not only federal, state, and local law is pretty standard for most people, but then there are the idiosyncrasies of the business that have to be compliant as well. And that is all reviewed. So that's number one. And then what we'll do, a lot of clients hire us to keep their handbook as a living document, where we will monitor compliance. For example, we have a company that's now working in 12 states where they were formerly just in New York City. We monitor the employment law landscape in those 12 states on a monthly basis. And then it's just good business practices. You know, we've had clients through the pandemic that were having a hard time getting PPP. We went out and found a PPP supplier that worked with our clients to make sure that their businesses could open and they had sufficient supplies. So, our solutions are scalable. It's not boilerplate. It really depends on the needs of the company, but we focus on compliance and being responsive to their needs, getting that done on a timely basis. So, and both from a tactical day-to-day to a strategic employment, a strategic HR view as well. Again, all depending on the size of the company, where they want to go, what their problems and history have been.
Right. It's, well, first off, I am so with you on the employee handbook. I write them as well for clients, as you know, and I know you do also. And one thing I've noticed is that the number of business owners who at first want, as you said, to either, you know, use one they borrow from somebody or a template. I like the Mad Libs analogy, so I'm just going ahead and changing the name. And, you know, I often use the analogy, and maybe you can identify to it, that using the same handbook as someone else when you're in a whole other industry is like saying, you know, I have a cough. So my brother-in-law had a cough last month. I'm going to go into his medicine cabinet and use his medication. Well, he may have had an infection and you may have bronchitis or asthma. I don't use that analogy as often now with COVID, because people are very sensitive to coughs and, you know, and such. So, but it's the idea that what fits for one doesn't always fit for the other. And as you pointed out, having an updated handbook is not only about being mindful of the federal, state, and city laws where you are, but also just the idiosyncrasies of your particular industry. I think it's very important to state. And one thing I know that you do as an HR company is that way you keep track of those, you know, say 11, 12 states as an example, where the, you know, client had other offices. You know, my experience is that the company, I mean, if they were to try to keep track on their own, how would they run their business? How would they deal with customers and hiring and interviewing people and, you know, branding and dealing with, let's say, an issue with the website or, you know, getting more materials in or being up to speed? So it's really important to have you know, in my opinion, as an employment law attorney, I'm a huge fan of HR companies like yours, and especially you and yours, because I think you distinguish yourself, Mark. I've known you for, you know, several years now, and I see the work that your company does. So I applaud you for it. I think the other interesting point to make here is about, let's see, we were talking about the customary employee handbooks and such. You know, just the idea that, I think as you mentioned before, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But I also think it's just really important to kind of just grasp the fact that, you know, each industry has its own unique rules and boundaries and regulations to follow. So, you know, good to hear you talking about some examples. And that story with the maternity leave, I've seen it go the other way also, and it's not pleasant for the company when they under give somebody what they should be entitled to because they use the wrong handbook. So you know, all I think important points. I wonder, I know you recently written something I came across, interesting enough, in one of your newsletters about New York State and some possible changes now in unemployment insurance and for employers.
Do
you want to speak to?
With everything going on with COVID and the levels of unemployment that we've seen throughout COVID, especially in the early days of the pandemic, with tens of thousands and tens of millions of people being on unemployment. For those that don't know, unemployment generally is billed back to the company. You have what's called an experience rate, and you get a bill and you pay a portion of your payroll taxes are based on that experience rate. So what might have been a normal experience rate has like multiplied geometrically. And the state of New York in particular was sending out invoices to collect back unemployment dollars. And we were in discussions with a not-for-profit up in Westchester that while they have several hundred employees and the work and great work that they do, they got billed for well in excess of $100,000. And they'd never seen, it was a number that they had never seen in the probably 70 years that they've been in business, even in the worst of times. Mm-hmm. And it was just astronomical, and they just had no way to audit this. And that's why they were talking to us. We were potentially going to go in and do an audit and go line by line by line. And mm-hmm. that is not only that company, but every company got a huge bill. And it just got to be absolutely insane. So what the state has done remarkably, again, considering the situation that they're in, they have said, you know what, they're going to eat all of those unemployment costs for the time being, because they were potentially going to bankrupt companies if they had to pay that money. It was just astronomical. So I can't say it's 100% all situations. But if you have a question in particular, reach out. We'd be happy to talk to you about it. But it looked like the state is going to eat all of the unemployment insurance costs that would normally be billed to a company probably for the next few months. I can't say how long it's going to go, but for the time being, they're going to do that, which again comes back to that it's just going to put additional pressure on finding money elsewhere because, all right, that unemployment revenue that they normally collect does not come in. So,
right. The pressure of, well, if we can't collect that unemployment insurance, maybe we can find which companies, which businesses are misclassifying their independent contractors as employees, and which ones are, say, I'm not paying correct overtime, or which ones are violating the minimum wage standards. So I think, you know, all things to consider. It goes back to that point earlier about the low-hanging fruit that businesses can become for the state when the state needs money. And, you know, I think we have one thing I'll say is what we're talking about tonight, the message really, like the underlying message is not one, again, of it's not a doom and gloom forecast here. It's sort of to be aware of what hazards await. The silver lining, the positive side of the message is that something can be done about it. I think that's what's
absolutely
so important. Right. And I think, you know, sometimes when people hear about all the problems that they can face, they shut down and say, oh, my God, there's too much. I don't want to even deal with this. But the truth is that you can deal with these situations with the help of an expert such as yourself or with the help of an employment lawyer like myself. And you can, you know, work with your professional to break this down into steps and to make it something that you can take care of. So I thought that might be a great message before the commercial break, which we have to take one more time. I'll just say again, I'm Eric Sarver, employment law, business law attorney, and also host each Tuesday night, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. here on Talk Radio NYC with my guest tonight, Mark Roberts from my HR department. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sarver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sarver, here tonight with my guest, a friend and colleague, Mark Roberts, a managing partner of my HR department, a company that can help your business with its HR needs. And Mark, before delving into another question, I want to just reflect back a bit. You made a really interesting point earlier tonight. You said, besides the risk of fines, penalties, Department of Labor, lawsuits, let's say, from disgruntled employees. Besides those expenses, there's the risk that if you don't comply with the labor and employment laws, it hurts your brand, right? That if you're sued, say, for discrimination in the workplace. And I think that's a really important point now in the time of COVID. And here's why, in my assessment. The laws around COVID-19 are still evolving, at least some of them. And for example, the EEOC guidance around whether employers can require mandate a vaccine for its employees, let's say they have religious objections, or can they give out incentives. The laws are changing. And one thing I've noticed is that when there's a hot issue of the day and it's in flux and it's unknown, it gets a lot of publicity, it gets a lot of press. So, you know, I've had clients, just a couple anecdotes I've had over the last, say, 11 months, where client had an employee who, long story short, wanted a reasonable accommodation to work from home, and the company wanted her to come in. And basically, it came down to a question of whether or not her pre-existing condition, which is not in and of itself a disability, would qualify as a disability under the ADA under COVID. And this is an issue the courts are still, still sorting through. So eventually, the question we had to ask my client, had to ask them is, you know, if this issue does go to court, it's going to get a lot of publicity, going to get a lot of press. Do you want your name on that type of press, that you're the company being sued for not allowing a worker an accommodation? So my point is, I'm echoing your point that one's brand can suffer without a compliance. And when you have a hot issue like COVID-19, which is always in the news, right? If you refresh your newsfeed right now, you'll see COVID in the top five headlines. Just really important to be on track. So I appreciate your mentioning that.
Yeah, and you know, just to piggyback off of what you said before the last break is yes, it's not all doom and gloom. It is wonderful to be able to have a business, to run a business, whether you're doing great work in the not-for-profit arena, you have a wonderful mission, or you're carrying on a family legacy by carrying the business forward for the last whatever number of years. It is wonderful. But just like you hire an accountant to do your accounting work, just like you hire an attorney to do your legal work, your contracts and all of that good stuff, you really should think about hiring an HR consultant. And it doesn't have to be a marriage now and forever. It could be just to get you started, just like you would hire an attorney to draft all those important contracts that you have in your business. Yep. Hire the HR consulting group to help you get your payroll is set up, help you get your policies and procedures in place, help you start building your business or carrying on your business with a proper foundation. If you have ongoing needs, we as a company, we're happy to be there. We do operate in some cases as an external HR department, but in other cases, we're a phone call away. Do it right. If you buy a sports car, a fancy sports car, you're going to take it to the car wash, you're going to wash it, you're going to wax it, you're going to garage it. Your employees are the biggest investment you're going to make in your business. Don't let it become rusty, lack of wax, lack of cleaning, lack of care and attention. Do the right thing and you'll be able to run your business without any hiccups along the way. Can't guarantee that things are not going to happen, but we can minimize those things along the way and you can enjoy the experience of running your business.
You know, and that's all, I think, an interesting point there as well that, you know, it could be hiring you and your company just to help the business get set up and get the foundation in order. And they can come back to you when they need to time, or they can, or in some cases, have you as an external HR department. I think that's an important point to get across because I think a lot of times, when businesses that I've met are assessing, should I hire an HR consultant? Should I hire a computer consultant, a tech consultant? The assumption almost is that they're going to hire them as if they're hiring a full-time employee and that this is something that's going to be a continual, ongoing, week-to-week cost. And, you know, that's often not the case. I mean, the work I do for my clients, sometimes it's, as you mentioned, drafting those initial contracts, getting the corporation set up, maybe drafting the employee contracts, maybe guiding them through the onboarding process, which I know I'm sure you do as well. And then other times they might not talk to me or need my help for 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And they might, I might get a call or an email from, you know, my client, you know, hey, Eric, we had this issue come up. Can you assist us? And I imagine that's what I hear you saying as well, that you guys are, you can work, on an immediate basis or as needed, which I think is good to know. You know, I don't know. I've often another observation I'd make about HR consulting firms, companies such as yours, if I may, is that I've often seen the issue that businesses have, Mark, that they can learn about and know what the law requires. Let's say they go to a seminar or a weekend, you know, a webinar or both. They can get a bunch of materials in the mail, but knowing what you have to do, it's like there's a bridge, almost like a leaping, like you're on one side of a stream and you know you have to get to the other side of the stream, but how do you get there? Maybe you're, do you jump? Is it too far to jump? Do you get a bunch of sticks and build a bridge? So I think that, you know, one thing I've noticed about HR companies is that they can help the client to implement the things they need to do with certain protocols in place and procedures. And I just wondered if you happen to that's something that you see as well, that your role in terms of an HR company.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people have come to us on various policy issues that they want to address and they weren't quite sure how to address that. And we do that. And, you know, to your point, you know, several organizations out there, they say they provide HR services. And what do? They provide their clients a subscription to an HR newsletter. Show me a business owner that really has the time and attention to read that newsletter, understand it, implement, and monitor going on. So it's you don't, you know, like I said, we don't have to be there forever. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're not the cheapest solution out there, but we can get you set up and then be in a maintenance mode and maybe come in periodically to see that everything's going right. Or we can just, you know, be available on an as needed basis. I mean, for some clients, we are their HR department mm-hmm. on an outsourced basis. But for other clients, you know, we have, you know, we do project work. We do, you know, we have a pay as you go model. More and more clients are going to our managed service model that includes not only access to our team of consultants, but a lot of the various services and things that they're going to need on an ongoing basis, like annual sexual harassment training, handbook updates, audits, et cetera. You know, so there's many, many ways to skin the cat, but, you know, we're available and ready to help at any time.
Mark, that's all, again, really good to know. I'm glad that our viewers can know that, our listeners can hear that. We've got about 2 minutes to wrap up before the next show. What I'd like to do is save 30 seconds to myself to end the show, but in a minute and a half or so, would you want to share any updates, events, promotions, how we contact you, anything like that? So the floor is yours.
Well, the easy part is to contact us. You can call us at area code 914-243-9155, or you can send me an email at mark, M-A-R-C, at myhrd.biz. And either way, we'll be happy to get back in touch with you or or speak with you about your needs. In terms of events right now, we are working on a couple of webinars. We happen to do a great amount of work in all industries, but in particular, the not-for-profit sector. And we are working on a program that is going to incorporate how to get employees back to the workforce, back to the workplace. Too much to get into at this point, but we are, you know, living with what we've gone through has a little bit of a PTSD aspect to it. And employees and employers need to understand that going forward, that employees are going to be a little freaked out when they have to walk into that 50-story office tower and get in the elevator with 20 people. It's like, oh, my God, how's that going to work? Or being around people in the lunchroom where they work. I mean, there's a whole host of issues. So we're working on a program of that nature. And we're also working on a program in and around COVID-19 and how to, you know, the laws, the implications of the vaccine. And in fact, Eric, you and I need to talk about that a little bit more as well. So best way is send us a note, get our newsletter, and you'll be up to date, or follow us on social media, please.
Absolutely. So sorry to kind of mark that, but absolutely. Thank you so much for being on the show. Folks, you've been listening to Mark Roberts tonight from my HR department. I'm Eric Sauver, host of Employment Law Today. If you like it, you heard, join us Tuesday nights, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. here on Talk Radio NYC. Mark, thank you once again. We need to end the show, but I hope everyone at home really got some value and benefit, and I thank you for being here. So have a great night, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks, Eric.
Good night.
Listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Graham Dobbin. Join me every Thursday evening for the Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. We speak to people from business, sport, military and politics, all around what makes a great leader. The personal experiences of what's worked and, maybe more importantly, what hasn't worked. So, that's 7 o'clock every Thursday evening. The Mind Behind Leadership here on talkradio.nyc. Listen to real stories of real leaders.
Hi,
I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talk Radio NYC with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply send us a message on our website, talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.